Hey, this is Amanda, women's health dietitian.
And I'm Emily, nutritional therapy practitioner.
And this is the Are You Menstrual podcast, where we help you navigate the confusing world of women's hormones and teach you how to have healthy periods.
Each week, we will be diving into a different topic on women's health and sharing our perspective using nutrition, female physiology, and metabolic health.
Our goal is to help you wade through conflicting health information and empower you on your healing journey.
We hope you enjoy it. Last episode, we walked you guys through a breakdown of the macro minerals and the ratios that you can see on your hair test for mineral status. But this week, we're going to be covering one specific part of the HTMA, or the hair tissue mineral analysis. And that is going to be the metabolic type or the oxidation state. This can kind of be a confusing part for some people just because there are different ways of doing things when it comes to metabolic type. For example, some people talk about eating certain foods or eating a certain way based on your metabolic type. But we're going to share with you our perspective on why metabolic type or oxidation state, which those two terms are interchangeable. So if you hear one, we just mean the other and vice versa. What they mean when we're looking at a hair test and why we think it's important based on what it says about you and the state of stress you're currently in. But if you want to look at a hair test, you can Google image TEI-HTMA. I'm going to say that again. It's TEI-HTMA to see what the hair test looks like and your metabolic type section in the hair test, just so you can follow along with us as we talk about it.
Yeah, and it's at the top right. You should see it. I'm sure if someone has done a hair test, if you have yours, you can just look at that. And we're going to go through this mainly because it's kind of like our first part of the test we review with our clients that we're like, what kind of stage of stress are you in, right? Like, where are we starting from? And the whole concept of metabolic typing was actually first outlined by Melvin Page, and he had the Page Foundation. He started to differentiate metabolic types based on certain measurements. Now, I'm not totally well versed in the way that he did it, but he did a lot with like upper and lower extremity measurements along with some blood work parameters. So he was looking more at like physical characteristics, how they compared to your blood work, and was defining metabolic type in that way. From there, that's when George Watson, he expanded on this, and he's the first person that really started to divide metabolic type into fast versus slow, which are the two main categories we're going to be focusing on, and really diving more into like oxidation rate, how your body makes energy, right? That ATP, we talked about this in the metabolism, the first episode. So he started looking more at your metabolism, how your cells are making energy. And that's when he started to define metabolic type being fast versus slow, and like fast being persons in the sympathetic fight or flight state, and then slow, meaning that the person is in the parasympathetic or rest and digest state. And from there, that's when Dr. David Watts, he went much further into different types of metabolic types. So he actually is the director of research and founder of Trace Elements. And when Emily said TEI, like Google that, that stands for Trace Elements Incorporated. That's the lab that we use for hair tests. So if you've ever worked with us or if you've gone through a Master Your Minerals course and ordered a hair test, that's where it's from. And Dr. Watts, he came up with different subtypes of metabolic types after reviewing hundreds of thousands of hair mineral tests. So it's basically connecting not just fast or slow. You'll see like fast 1, 2, 3, 4, slow 1, 2, 3, 4. And those numbers, that is a subtype. And that's connecting more about not just are you in the fast or slow state, but what are your adrenals doing? What's your thyroid doing? And that's really kind of where metabolic typing came from and how it's evolved until how we use it today.
So as Amanda said, when you're thinking about your metabolic type, it's going to be telling you what your nervous system is doing, what's dominant. And so are you more trending towards that sympathetic state, that fight or flight state, or the more parasympathetic rest and digest state, as Amanda mentioned? And that's either going to be a fast or a slow. So if you're in the fast type, you tend to have the chronic overstimulation of the adrenal glands and or the thyroid. Most of the time, they're together. You have the overstimulation of both. And this shows the sympathetic nervous system dominant, so that fight or flight. Now, on the other hand, if you are in the slow, that's going to be associated with a depletion of the adrenal glands and the thyroid, which shows the parasympathetic dominant, so that rest and digest state. And this metabolic type is actually based on one ratio. It's the first ratio that you'll see in your HTMA, and that's going to be your calcium-phosphorus ratio. So calcium is a very sedative mineral, and that's why if your calcium is higher, you're going to experience more of that less stimulation of your adrenals and your thyroid, of that slower, sluggish adrenals and thyroid. But if your phosphorus is high, that's going to be more stimulating. So that's where your chronic overstimulation comes in of your adrenals and your thyroid. So just as a little cheat sheet, fast is going to equal a low calcium phosphorus ratio, and slow is going to equal a high calcium phosphorus ratio. And that's just something to keep in mind. It's just one piece of the HTMA puzzle, but it does give you a little bit more insight into how your adrenal glands, or I'm sorry, your adrenal glands and your thyroid is going to be working most of the time.
And I think too, just keeping in mind that, like, when you look up metabolic typing, so many different things come up. And that's why we're like, we just want to break down how we use metabolic typing. We don't recommend certain foods based off of this. And it's important to know that this is not set in stone, right? Just because you are a slow metabolic type on your first hair test doesn't mean you're going to stay that way. So, like, you're going to go back and forth. And it's really based around your stress response. And that's why we keep mentioning nervous system states, because depending on what stage of stress you're in, you're going to be more dominant in one end of that autonomic nervous system. So don't freak out if you're like, oh my gosh, I'm a slow metabolic type. Most people are. And take it in more as a piece of information, as like, okay, this is my stage of stress, versus like, this means I will always have a slow metabolism. It's likely going to change on your healing journey. And this is why we don't recommend certain foods based on your metabolic type, right? Because it's not just like, oh, I'm fast or slow, so I can only eat these things. I shouldn't eat these things. It's so much deeper than that. And I think when we go more into these, which we're going to do now, and talk about the subtypes a little bit, then you're going to grasp like, oh, it's actually how my organ systems are working. It's not just my metabolism.
So Amanda, would you say that focusing so much on your metabolic type is a smart thing or not really?
It's just a piece of the puzzle. So like, I think it's important to acknowledge it, but I think even your subtype is a little bit more important to know, like, what stage of stress are your adrenals in? How is your thyroid working? When you really understand your metabolic type and your subtype, you recognize mineral patterns and mineral ratios. And we did go through the mineral ratios, I think, the last episode. And we kind of talked about like how they compare different systems of the body. That's what matters most. And that's really what your metabolic type is telling you. So don't get obsessed with fast versus slow and the word metabolism. You need to look deeper at, okay, what does this tell me about my metabolism and about my adrenals and thyroid?
And that's something I feel like I had to learn when I did my first HTMA. I think I was so absorbed in what my type actually was that it wasn't until I started focusing more on the ratios themselves and what my body actually needed that it all started to kind of make more sense as far as what I was supposed to kind of do in order to get my health back into a good place.
I think too, like when you see that slow one, you're like, ah, like that was my first test. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm a slow one. I'm like the slowest thing ever. And you kind of start to freak out. Or in your retest, like if I get a lot of people where their metabolic type doesn't change and they're kind of nervous and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm still a slow one or I'm still a slow three. Like, what does that mean? When in reality, if then we look at their ratios, and the ratios are on the second page. So if you guys are looking at the hair test, go to the second page. It's in the top left corner. It's a purple box called significant ratios. That is when you see the change, right? And it's really easy to get obsessed with your type. And if you don't see a difference on your retest, people start to freak out. But it's all dependent on your ratios. And sometimes it's not enough of a change, or they flip-flop. And so then your type doesn't really change. But don't obsess over the type. We just want you to understand like what they mean. So we'll get into the fast metabolic type first. This is when we are really more in that actively stressed state. So if we're thinking about like that alarm stage of stress, or we're making lots of cortisol, we're prioritizing that fight or flight. And that's really when fast oxidation is showing that the body is under stress. So if you see a fast, no matter what the number is, then know that that means your calcium phosphorus ratio is lower and that you are definitely more in that fight or flight mode. These people tend to be more anxious, irritable, in a hurry, aggressive, especially if you're really fast, like a fast one or a fast two. They're usually somewhat emotional, short-tempered, high strung. So it's like you tend more towards anxiety and you're easily wound up.
Right. And to add to that, I mean, this isn't always the case. Not all of these symptoms are going to go with you just because you're a fast, but a lot of the times higher cortisol levels in fast metabolizers will equal some higher blood sugar, some blood sugar dysregulation. You'll maybe see some weight gain in the abdomen. You might also see, because of salt and water retention with the high sodium, some higher blood pressure. You might sweat more easily. One good thing is that you might also feel like you're constantly drinking caffeine, like you have that fast brain activity where you can kind of think on your feet. Whenever you get stressed or nervous, I don't know if this happens to you, Amanda, but I tend to have some digestive issues like frequent or loose bowel movements, which some fast metabolizers can see. And then on the more serious side of the spectrum, things like with the anxiety, the high blood pressure, you can start seeing heart attacks, panic attacks, and then maybe some arthritis and sore joints, things of that nature. So like I said, not all of these symptoms are going to go with every fast, but it is a little bit more on the common side for a fast metabolic type over a slow.
And when we think about like, how does this present in a person or a client and on a hair test? Remember, there's different types of fast. It's fast 1, 2, 3, 4. And we're going to talk about those once we get through kind of like the general fast versus slow. But we have a little case study that we're going to do from a client, Tammy, that we worked with. And she is a fast one. So she's like very fast. That means that not only is she in that fight or flight state, but her adrenals are working very quickly. And same with her thyroid. And so fast one is fastest of the fast. Tammy is someone where it's interesting because we chose her because it's not always what you think of. When you think of a fast metabolic type, a lot of people think of like they have difficulty keeping weight on. They definitely associate it more with their weight. They might not think about like when we think of the stress and everything and the fast thinking and all that stuff and high cortisol, you might not always think of things like brain fog, but that was one of Tammy's main complaints. She had a really difficult time losing weight, irregular cycles. She wasn't diagnosed with PCOS, but she had a lot of symptoms of it. And she had hypothyroidism. And so I think a lot of people would assume that she'd be a slow metabolic type, but she actually was a fast one. And if we think about her health history, she came to us, she'd have been struggling with hypothyroidism for a while. So her thyroid wasn't working as well as it should have been. She has a history of allergies, ADHD, anxiety. Those are definitely more associated with the fast metabolic type, minus the hypothyroidism. If we look at what we saw in her hair test, yeah, she was a fast one, so everything was really fast, but she had some of your classic mineral imbalances that occur when you're a fast metabolic type, which is things like retaining more sodium and potassium. So typically a fast metabolic type, they burn through calcium and magnesium a lot quicker. And so they need more of those. And on Tammy's HTMA, obviously you guys can't see it, but her sodium was very, very high, which is telling us that she's making lots of cortisol, which is going to lead to more aldosterone being expressed, and then she's going to have more sodium retention. So on the hair, that's going to look like very high sodium levels. And that's just telling us that she is very actively stressed. We kind of knew that even by talking with her, but she was very shocked to see that she was a fast one on her hair test. And I don't know if you kind of want to walk through some of her nutrition, Emily, and what she was typically eating.
Yeah. So according to her initial intake and her food journal, she was someone who occasionally or frequently skipped breakfast. And as you probably have heard from a lot of our different platforms like Instagram and our blog, we are huge proponents of eating breakfast right when you wake up because of the way it affects metabolism and your thyroid. So as Amanda said, she did have some hypothyroidism going on, and skipping breakfast or not eating very frequently can definitely exacerbate these symptoms. She also had a difficult time eating enough food, which again kind of goes hand in hand with this. We need enough nutrients, we need enough fuel to give our thyroid and our adrenals what they need. And then she ate a lot of her food later in the day, which I don't feel like meal timing is as important as many calories and good quality foods that you are getting in during the day. But we do talk a lot about eating every 3 to 4 hours so that your blood sugar doesn't drop too low, your cortisol doesn't go too high. And this was something she was already experiencing with the higher cortisol. So whether you're fast or slow, making sure that you're eating regularly, we do think also adds to your overall health and well-being. And then she experienced being wired but tired a lot. So just that kind of anxious, but also just exhausted, which I'm sure a lot of us have experienced before, but is very typical with a fast metabolizer because of just the way our cortisol is working. So she definitely didn't have a terrible diet or anything like that. It was just these little things that she could have been doing better that was maybe making her symptoms worse, like the skipping the breakfast, the eating food later in the day, the going longer time frames in between eating, and then not eating enough. That was definitely causing some cortisol and blood sugar issues.
And I think the big thing to remember is, like, so for Tammy, she had a lot of family stuff going on at this time. And, you know, lots of stress, mental, emotional stress, physical stress, driving long distances to see family, like, on a regular basis. And so when we have that kind of stress going on, we have to take responsibility in other areas and just take care of ourselves, you know, like, feed yourself breakfast. So that's one way, because when we wake up, you're going to have high cortisol if you don't eat because your blood sugar is low. You know, you haven't eaten all night. So for her, that was the first thing that she did. She started doing to, like, help reduce that stress, because she's kind of like, when you see your hair test results and you see, like, a fast one, typically a lot of your minerals are very high. So you'll see, like, black bars going all the way up the screen. It's kind of scary. And it just shows you, like, okay, so I do have a lot of stress going on. It's nice to visually see it. I think it makes it a little more real. And it wasn't what she thought. Like, she thought she was already in that exhaustive stage of stress. Like, she wasn't actually there yet. Her body was still fighting pretty hard, which was great to know, because it's like, hey, we can get a handle on this and we can minimize how this is going to affect your health in the future. And there was a lot of different signs. We won't go into everything because I feel like it might be confusing if you can't see the hair test. But that's just to give you an idea of, like, what a fast one typically can show up like. It's not always what you think it is. Hypothyroidism, brain fog, inability to lose weight can be a fast metabolic type. And again, like, this is why we don't change food recommendations based off that. It's really just kind of looking at, like, for her, for example, not eating breakfast, eating most of her food later in the day, and then typically not sleeping super well. It's like, all that's just going to exacerbate the stress. So fast types do well with eating more frequently.
For sure. And I think we will talk about this more next week, but I think it is also worth mentioning that she does have a lot of markers on her hair test that could indicate excess iron in the body. Iron being one of them is high.
So high.
On hers. But there's also things like manganese and chromium that are high, which can indicate this iron in the tissues or the liver. And we are going to do a whole episode just on iron and copper and how they go together and why they're important. So definitely catch next week's episode when we go more into that. But just wanted to throw that out there too, Amanda.
Yeah, it's a important marker, especially because she is hypothyroid, right? Because obviously, mm-hmm. like, most of that iron is going to accumulate in the liver. And where does that thyroid hormone conversion happen? In the liver. That'll be, like, a whole thing we'll get into on that episode. But that's also, like, why she could, you know, she's hypothyroid, but she's still a fast one. So there's so many other pieces of the puzzle. And that's why we don't just look at the metabolic type.
Okay, so now we'll move on to talk about the slow metabolic type in a little bit more detail. So slow oxidation is going to mean you have a slow metabolism of nutrients. So that means that your body takes longer and requires more energy for your cells to take the nutrients from the foods you eat and turn them into energy. Okay, so a lot of people, as Amanda was saying, was they see, oh, I'm a slow oxidizer. That must mean I have trouble losing weight. Like, I need to be fast in order for my body to be working right. This is not totally the case. It just is an area of stress, your state of stress that you're currently in. And you are leaning a little bit more towards that depleted state, but you could also be in this resistance state where your body is trying to compensate. Okay. So what you're often going to see is like a slower thyroid function, a slower metabolism, which is gut function, fatigue, hormone imbalances. And that is where your adrenals are also slowing down. So things are just kind of getting into that slow, stuck in that rest and digest state. Okay. So if you're just tired all the time, if you have a hard time sleeping at night, you feel cold, like your hands and feet are cold, you're experiencing thinning hair, hair loss, and then constipation or like a slower transit time with your food and your digestion, that's often what we see in slow metabolizers. And a lot of this is so physiologically what's happening is that you're going to see your calcium and magnesium higher than your sodium and potassium. So in opposition to what's happening to a fast metabolizer, with a slow metabolizer, we are going to see the calcium and the magnesium go up, and then the sodium and potassium is going to be decreasing. So when you're looking at an HTMA, this isn't always the case, but a lot of times, especially with a slow one, we're going to see that downward slant, starting with the higher calcium and magnesium and going down to the sodium and potassium levels.
So that typical pattern that we're seeing with the higher calcium, magnesium relative to the sodium, potassium, a lot of this is based on adrenal function, right? So if we think about stages of stress, if that most of the fast types are in the alarm and resistance stage of stress, as we move through those, you're using up a lot more minerals. So as that sodium, potassium start to decrease, that's going to impact thyroid function. Nothing works independently in the body, right? It all works together. And so if we are thinking about depleting certain minerals, of course, that's going to come back and impact how our thyroid's working, how we can get that thyroid hormone inside the cell, you know, and like as that calcium increases, that slows down the adrenals. Because remember, as Emily said in the beginning, like calcium is very sedative and it's controlled by that parasympathetic branch of our nervous system. And so that's why when we see in slow oxidizers, when we're looking at that hair test, remember the slow 1, 2, and 3, 4 are going to differ a little bit, but in general, we're going to see a much more depleted sodium potassium. So they need more of those minerals. It's really important to get enough. Whereas in the fast metabolic type, you really want to make sure you're getting enough calcium and magnesium. So they're just opposites. Everyone's going to vary a little bit based on their test results. And I think magnesium might be the most confusing part of this because people see the high levels and they think, oh my gosh, I'm getting too much magnesium. I'm taking too much of my magnesium supplement. But in reality, it just means you have a higher demand for it. People that are a slow metabolic type typically want to go really slowly when supplementing with magnesium. And you really want to focus on your sodium and potassium first. So I know we're always talking about adrenal cocktails, but there's a reason for it. It's because most of us are slow metabolic types, and a lot of us aren't getting enough of those minerals in our diet. And so adding them in very mindfully via the adrenal cocktail, that's going to help improve sodium potassium levels. And slow metabolic types do so well with those. And then as you build those up, then you start to tolerate that magnesium a lot better. Whereas when you're a fast metabolic type, you typically do great with magnesium, right? Because you're using it up so much and so quickly. So those are kind of some of the main differences between those. And if we're going to look at a case study, we're actually going to look at Emily as our case study for the slow metabolic type.
Yeah. So we get to talk about my situation for a bit, which I feel like, Amanda, I am a classic or very typical slow one. If you kind of just know what I was going through, which I'll summarize a little bit, I was experiencing pretty severe brain fog, constipation, digestive issues, bloating was a huge one for me. Acne was always a very big problem growing up, struggled with acne for probably 12, 14 years, somewhere around there. I also had irregular periods from the start and then intense sugar and carb cravings. I had also been diagnosed with hypothyroidism, PCOS, and I did have eating disorder tendencies for a couple years there as well. And I think that was mostly due to just wanting to be healthy and thinking that a restrictive way of eating was going to be the best thing for me. But on a low-carb diet, I was still experiencing some blood sugar dysregulation, as well as candida. I did a GI map or a stool test, and I did have some candida issues on that test as well. So those are things that I experienced. And when I did my first mineral test with Amanda, I was a slow one. So if we are looking at my HTMA, the first thing that I saw was my calcium levels were through the roof. So that could kind of explain why I was experiencing so much fatigue, just because calcium is a very sedative mineral. And as a slow one, I was stuck in that rest and digest state. So my body could not get out of this resistant state or this place of just being parasympathetic. So I also had very depleted sodium and potassium levels, as we were talking about. That's a really big sign of a slow metabolizer. And so my thyroid ratio was completely off. I think it was through the roof because of my low potassium. I just wasn't getting that thyroid hormone into the cell. So that was a huge problem. And if we're talking about blood sugar, which obviously I was having a lot of issues with, potassium's huge for blood sugar. So potassium helps thyroid hormone and insulin get into the cells and do what they need to do. So I was experiencing both of those issues, probably because my potassium was so low. And what's interesting about my diet was that I was on a low-carb diet, so I wasn't eating foods with potassium, things like potatoes or coconut water or these other root veggies that are high in potassium. I wasn't really eating a lot of that, which could explain why my levels were probably bottomed out. So those were just a few things that I had to balance out and get that sodium and potassium up, get that calcium shell to come down. And we did that through a lot of adrenal elixirs, as Amanda mentioned, and then balancing out my macros to incorporate some of those important potassium-rich whole food carbs that really, really helped. And that's when I started feeling better. Like, my blood sugar issues are completely gone because of how I balanced out my macros and incorporated those nutrient-dense foods. So just an interesting like tidbit on how, you know, we think a lot of times PCOS and things like that, metabolic issues can come from eating too many carbs or eating too much. And it's actually most of the time the opposite.
I think too, like one thing for you is that you were testing your blood sugar. Remember that? You were actually monitoring your blood sugar. Oh, yeah. And like Emily was very nervous about adding certain foods in, and it was like you had in your head that you're like, but I can't eat this food. Remember, like, well, I have these blood sugar problems. Well, and obviously we could see there was some elevated blood sugars, but I think your fasting was pretty high. And I'm like, this is the perfect example of why we need more carbohydrates, because, and this is a very common with the slow metabolic type, because basically like you're waking up with a high fasting because your body does not have enough resources, typically glucose in your liver, right? You have a slower thyroid, usually low potassium, which all leads to a more difficult time storing glucose in your liver in order for you to use between meals or while you're sleeping. And Emily was already like on that low carb diet for a while, so she already had depleted stores of glucose in her liver. So when people want to, like, you know, say like, should I eat low carb because I have PCOS? I'm like, I think it's more of a reason to eat carbohydrates, because most of those women already are struggling with a sluggish thyroid, depleted minerals, a stressed out body, right? So we want to add in as many of those sodium and potassium, really supportive minerals. Magnesium is also really important. Your magnesium actually wasn't that bad. It wasn't high, which is really common with your slow metabolic type. So that told me, I was like, well, she definitely needs magnesium support. But the first piece of that puzzle was really sodium and potassium. And that's what I think allowed you to store that glucose better, get better sleep, and even use thyroid hormone better. Remember, like, you didn't feel any different before when you took thyroid medication?
No, it's true. Yeah, it didn't really do anything for me. And I didn't know about minerals at the time, so I had no clue that what I was lacking in minerals was causing thyroid and blood sugar issues. I mean, it was just a whole new world.
Yeah, and I know we did your retests and things improved a lot and like calcium started to come down. I think that like one, I would have loved to get your sodium potassium a little bit higher before the current pregnancy, because I do wonder, like, would that improve your energy? Would that improve how you're using that thyroid hormone? It'll be very interesting to see postpartum, like what's going on.
Yeah. And what is interesting, I think I already told you this, Amanda, was that in my first pregnancy, before I had done any of this mineral testing, my TSH, whenever I got pregnant, was all the way up in the 8 range. And then after I had done a lot of work with sodium and potassium for my second pregnancy, it only got up to like a low 5, which is kind of a big difference if you think about it, not changing anything other than incorporating more sodium and potassium and trying to balance out my minerals. So I'm a huge believer in this. And I will say I was somebody that stayed a slow one. So in my second retest, you know, we say don't freak out if you don't move. I technically didn't move, but y'all, if you could see the balance of my minerals and the ratios and how they came back into that optimal range, like the calcium came down, magnesium balanced out a little bit, even my sodium and potassium got a little bit better. So it's these small changes. And I think that was like a 3-month span that those changes happened.
And your cobalt, oh my gosh, I have your retest. Yes. Now I'm like, what was her retest? Because we're both looking at her old hair test. Her cobalt was like all the way up. It was 0.010, which sounds very low, but that's actually really high for cobalt, which is a sign of liver stress, right? Like super, super huge sign of liver stress, which of course is going to impact thyroid function. And then on her retest, it was perfect. And same thing, like her calcium cut in half, right? So then it was optimal. So she went from like lots of blood sugar dysregulation, all that kind of stuff, liver stress, obvious thyroid issues, to in a span, it was actually closer to 4 months, I think, 4 or 5 months. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even always see these kinds of results that quickly. And then obviously you guys were like wanting to have another baby and stuff. And we were like, this is a decent time because everything is leveled out and you're most likely going to respond a lot better blood sugar wise and thyroid wise than when we saw that first test, you know?
For sure. So definitely makes a huge difference. And I honestly can't wait to see what it is after this pregnancy.
I just can't wait to look at copper. Copper changes so much during pregnancy and stuff. And how many weeks are you right now?
So I am almost 24 weeks.
Okay. So yeah, we need to do a prenatal series for sure. I'm like, oh, the third trimester, like so many things are happening during that time. But yeah, so we'll get into that in future episodes. But we kind of want to round out this episode with talking about some of the subtypes. So like we were kind of going through slow versus fast, but then when we talked about the case studies of like Tammy and Emily, we went more into, okay, this Tammy's a fast one, Emily's a slow one. Like what do the numbers mean, right? Like what does the slow 1, 2, 3, 4 mean, the fast 1, 2, 3, 4? If we think about it on a scale, we are going to, it's like a balance scale. Like to the left, you're going to have slow 1, 2, 3, 4. So 1 is on the inside, 4 is on the outside. And on the right, you're going to have a fast 1, 2, 3, 4, fast 1 on the inside, fast 4 on the outside. Your slow 1 and your fast 1 are actually the closest to equilibrium that you're going to get. And it's really digging more into like, not just are you fast or slow, but like, how are your adrenals and your thyroid working in comparison to your metabolism? And so with that slow one, like for Emily's case, she was a slow one. So that means her metabolism was slow, but she also had sluggish thyroid and sluggish adrenals. Whereas with the further you go up, like slow 2, 3, and 4, that's more dysregulation. So you're going to have more, like your adrenals could be fast even if you're a slow type, or your thyroid could be fast. Or if you're a slow 4, you have a slow metabolism, but really fast adrenals and thyroid. And the further you get out from your slow 1 and your fast 1, the more dysregulation your body has, going on. And so like your fast one, that was Tammy. She had fast metabolism, fast adrenals, fast thyroid. She was in that alarm stage of stress. Whereas we see a lot of fast fours, that's like your most depleted stage of stress, right? You're in that exhaustive, that third final stage of stress because your body has used up so many minerals. And that means that your metabolism is fast, but your thyroid and your adrenals are just tanked. And so this person is really more like a slow metabolic type.
So Amanda, is there a perfect metabolic type? To round out this episode, let's just answer this question one last time.
There is definitely not a perfect metabolic type, mainly because, again, it's a piece of information, right? It's just telling you, where is my metabolism at now for the last 3 months? Because remember, we're getting 3 months of information. And then how is that comparing to my adrenal and my thyroid function? I really look at it as like, what stage of stress are you in, right? And I think that's a piece of information you should take away from it. And like how much dysregulation is occurring, and you're going to know that by your subtype.
Awesome. So that said, we want to remind you guys of something that is out now and available for you. And that is our Master Your Minerals course. If you find this at all intriguing, or you want to learn more and you want to do it on your own terms and self-paced, we really encourage you to look into our Master Your Minerals course. It is new and we are so excited about it because it gives you so much insight and information into your own minerals and how you can interpret your own HTMA. It does give you the ability to order an HTMA from us when you purchase this course, and it walks you through how to read your hair test and to understand the results. You buy this course once and you have this knowledge forever. As many HTMAs as you want to take, you will know exactly what's going on in your body and how your body is reacting to stress from taking this course. You won't need a practitioner to walk you through it.
And that's really the goal, is like, obviously we've done this test with a lot of women and we still work with women. We still have our results reviews, our group coaching program, but we wanted, like, this is something that we're like, if you knew how to understand your results, you could make changes on your own, especially once you have that baseline knowledge. And that's the goal, right? We did pre-enrollment. We had a bunch of women sign up and order hair tests so they could start to get the results in by the time the course was available. And even then, like just going through the intro to mineral videos, they were like, oh, I even made some changes based off of that. And I already noticed the difference. So if you're like, I want to know my metabolic type, I want to do a hair test, we give you the ability to order the hair test once you've gotten the course, because we want to make sure you know what to do with that information. And when you get the hair test, if you Google imaged it, you know, it's a little overwhelming, right? It's not as straightforward as blood work. So definitely check out the Master Your Minerals course if you want to do hair testing and understand it. And then if you need more support, once you've gone through that program, you can join our membership that we have. And we have the coolest group of women in there. So supportive. I love being in the membership. I feel like lucky just to be able to interact with them every day. So yeah, we hope that you take advantage of the Master Your Minerals course. Next episode, we're talking about copper and iron. And these are, I think, the most misunderstood minerals, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They're just confusing.
They're complicated.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of everything you think you hear. So we're going to go into these in the next episode. Make sure you stay tuned for that one. And thank you for being with us today.
Talk to you guys then.